The topic is returning from the hospital on Shabbos. Now, this topic initially was an afterthought, in the sense that last time round we discussed going to the hospital to take call. And that one, when we did it, I felt was, you know, a sufficiently complex topic. It really required a lot of research. And this one was going to be a little footnote at the end, returning from the hospital on Shabbos. And boy, was that wrong. This may well be the most complex topic I've tackled, period, not just in this series, but like ever. After reading through all the Gemaras and all the different commentary, post-Gem, everything, I think I have a handle on it. I make no promises. The halacha part of it is actually relatively straightforward. But we designed the series to be iyun, to be analytic and go back to the sources, and that's where things get complex. So, as always, ask your rabbi. That's the halacha part, the part that's fairly straightforward. But we'll work our way through it, and God willing, it'll all come together. Okay, we begin with the core sources themselves, and in particular, the source around which everything revolves here, and that's the Gemara in Erevin. Starts with an innocent-sounding Mishnah, and then continues with a Gemara, and that's where things get complex. The Mishnah says, it's source Aleph. Misha yatza birshus, v'amrulo kvar nase masa. A person left, meaning left the tchum. That's what we're talking about. He left his normal travel boundary for Shabbos, and he left Pershus for a permitted purpose. He left because, as we'll see, a midwife who went to go help somebody give birth, someone who went to help save a population from danger, and then was told en route, Kvar na'aseh ma'aseh, it's already done. So yesh lo apayim amos l'chol ruach. So now he has 2,000 amos from where he is in any direction. He can consider that as his location of shavisa, the place where he's resting for Shabbos, and he gets 2,000 amos from there. And im hayah b'socha tchum, if he's actually within his initial tchum, by going within those 2,000 amos, he can get back to where he came from. So good, gilo yatzah, it's as though he never left. He stepped outside the tchum, he found out up too late, he goes back home. That's fine. That's not the key line. The key line is the next one. Kol hayotzim lahatzil chozrin limikoman. Everyone who goes to save lives can return home. Now, the context for this Mishnah is a discussion of Tchum Shabbos. There's a basic machlokas as to whether Tchum Shabbos is the oraisa biblical or the rabbanon rabbinic. The law of Tchum Shabbos in sort of as a general rule, and then the specifics of Tchum Shabbos, because we are familiar with the idea that Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos. However, there's another view that Tchum Shabbos is actually 12 mil, 12 times that, 24,000 amos. And there are some who say that Tchum Shabbos that's 2,000 amos is derabanan, but the biblical one is 12 mil. There are others who say Tchum entirely is derabanan. There are others who say, no, 2,000 amos is de'oraisa. So in and of itself, you have a little bit of a conflict here. But when he says everybody who leaves the tchum to save lives may return home, and he doesn't put a cap on it. He doesn't say up to 2,000 amos, up to 12 mil. So that's open-ended. It makes it sound like you could even return home and violate a de'oraisa. Right? That's what the Mishnah sounds like. But if that's really true, then look back at the beginning of the Mishnah, which said if you left permissibly, and then you were told, forget it, then you only have 2,000 amos. So why is it that in the Reisha, in the beginning we said you have up to 2,000 amos, and in the end you said, chozrin limikoman, open-ended? That's the question that's going to frame everything that we're going to discuss, is that Mishnah. Yes? So one way to break down this Mishnah is indeed to say that the Reisha, the opening part, was talking about someone who left Birshus with permission, but it doesn't mean necessarily to save lives. There are other reasons to permit leaving the Tchum on Shabbos. For example, we're going to see to testify about Rosh Chodesh, to testify that you saw the moon. That's also leaving Birshus. So maybe we're going to make a distinction. We'll have to see. It's a good possibility, yes?
Maybe the thief was talking about where the Masa wasn't done yet. And you actually did the Masa. And then you can go...
So because you were successful, we can give you a bonus. We'll allow you to travel further because you actually did it, as opposed to the guy who went and then was told en route, forget it, so he only gets 2,000 amos. You get a bonus for being successful. Well, that raises all sorts of ethical questions then. Let's say you're en route, they tell you it's done, and you say, no, you need me, because you want to be able to travel the more than 2,000 amos. That's the opening volley here. Yes.
I don't remember where it is, but there's actually a Mishnah that says that because one of the Chazal stopped individuals who were on their way.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get, no, that's exactly right. If you take a look at Vav, you'll see it over there. Because that's certainly a key and relevant source for this. Okay, so that's the opening Mishnah, and we see an apparent contradiction which we have to resolve. So that's what the Gemara tackles in source base. Okay, that's the quote from our Mishnah. They quote the end of our Mishnah that said, if you went to save lives, you may return home. So the Gemara asks, "Va'bilu tuva? You could go even, beyond 2,000 amos. You can go however far you want to return home on Shabbos. Va'amrit reishah hayim amah v'sulo. You said in the opening line, only 2,000 amos. Exactly the contradiction or apparent contradiction we just pointed out. So the Gemara is going to offer two answers. Along the way, it's going to rewrite the question, but it's going to offer two answers. The first answer, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rab, I put in a little number there in order to help. The first answer, Rab's answer is that when you leave, when it says you leave, you can go home, it doesn't mean beyond 2,000 amos. Rather, what it means is you can carry your weapons home. So we're talking about Lahatzil, people who went with weapons in order to save people from the enemy. And they're allowed to return home within 2,000 amos, carrying their weapons. Well, that's an interesting answer. Because that didn't solve anything. Because now I don't understand. If you're telling me the limitation is 2,000 amos, because you want to keep me from violating deoraisas, why am I allowed to carry? Which is also a deoraisa. Unless you mean I can carry if it's a carmelis, in which case I'll say, Iker chasam and hasefer. You're missing the actual, why didn't you say that? Right? If you meant only within a carmelis, you should have said so. Further, did Rav actually say here within 2,000 amos? Rav did not. He said they can go with their weapons, they can return home. He didn't say, and only within 2,000 amos. I assumed it when I read it, because I understand that we're trying to justify the beginning and end of that Mishnah. Right? The end of the Mishnah said, the beginning of the Mishnah said you only have 2,000 amos. We're trying to justify the end versus the beginning. So therefore, I assume, and I'm not alone, Rashi assumes also, that Rav is saying you have up until 2,000 amos, whether in the Resha or in the Seifa. So, what we've accomplished is almost nothing. We gave an answer, we don't understand what the answer means. But that's okay, because the Gemara is about to change the question on us entirely. The Gemara points out what you already pointed out, which is that we have to define Rishus. Umay Kusha. The Gemara says, what's the problem? When you see words in parentheses in this source, and in general, it's because I added those words. The words in a parentheses do not appear in the original source. I added them in just to help the reader. Umay Kusha. What's the question here, he says? Dumalahatsil Desefa Shani. Maybe the end case where you went to save lives is different from the Risha. Go back to our original source, the Mishnah in Source Aleph, which said, if you left Birshus with permission, and then you were told it was done, you had 2,000 amos. And then the Seifa said, anybody who goes Lahatsil to save can return home. So maybe the answer is, indeed, as you pointed out, right, that the opening case that it gave me up until 2,000 amos was because I left Birshus. Not, I left to save lives, but I left for some other reason. I left to testify about the moon. Right? So therefore, he's saying, if you go to save lives, you have unlimited travel. If you go for some other permitted purpose, you're a moel and you went to do a bris. Well, actually, not necessarily. That raises its own question whether the moel is allowed to do that. So I take back the moel. But if you left for some other reason, we'll see a list later, then you only have 2,000 amos. So the Gemara says, don't bother questioning the beginning of the Mishnah versus the end of the Mishnah. Those can be resolved. The 2,000 amo limit is someone who left with permission. The unlimited travel is someone who left to save lives. However, I still do have a problem. And that's what he continues with. Ela e kasha, but if you have a problem, ha kasha. Here is the problem here is the question you should ask. Disnan. They quote a Mishnah from Rosh Hashanah, and in fact it's the Mishnah that we're going to quote later in Source Hay, but we'll see it right here. Initially, when witnesses came to testify about the new moon, if they arrived on Shabbos, they wouldn't be able to leave the spot all day long. You came in, there was a nice little courtyard, they had a kiddush for you, and you would, as described in the Mishnah, and they would, and there you would testify, and you'd remain there for the rest of Shabbos. That was what was done. You had to stay in that courtyard. Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein, who is different from Rabbi Gamliel, who we'll see later. He's an earlier generation, so keep that in mind, please. Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein, Shiyesh Lahen Apayim Amalochol Ruach. Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein said, 2,000 amos in every direction from there. Not unlike what we said in our Mishnah, that if you went to save, right, if you left for Shus, and then you were told the deed was done, you have 2,000 amos in every direction. He said, we consider this place where you testify about the new moon to be your Makom Shavisa, the place where you are staying for Shabbos, and you have 2,000 amos from there. Velo elu bilvad amru, and not only regarding witnesses, ela afilu chachama habal yaled, but a midwife who comes to help a woman give birth. Vahabala hatzel minat gayesu minat naharu minam apolis minat deleka, someone who comes to help save a community, save people from soldiers, from an overflowing river, from a mapoles, from a collapsed building. Is there a spare page? The umin adleika, or from a fire. I'm sorry. In all those cases, harehin ka'anshe ha'ir v'yeshlan alpayim amal ochol ruach. So he says they get to be like the population of the city, and they get 2,000 amos in every direction. So you see that? They quote the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. We're in the middle of source base. They quote the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which says that when you come to save, even from soldiers, so this is the case where you are saving lives, there's a real danger. Your limit is 2,000 amos. And yet, we said, if you look back at source Aleph, the end of source Aleph, kal yotzim lahatzil chozrin lemakomon. Anybody who goes to save lives gets to return home, apparently, without travel limit. So that's the real problem. The problem is not Resha versus Seifa in Source Aleph. The problem is Seifa of Source Aleph, the end of Source Aleph, that you have an unlimited travel, versus the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says when you go to save from the soldiers, you have 2,000 amos. That's our problem. Alpayim amo v'sulo, 2,000 amos and no further? V'ha'amret, you said in the Mishnah, kol hayotzim lahatzil chozrin lemakomon, everyone who goes to save gets to go home, afilu tuva, without any limit. So now we come back to Rav's answer. And now, hopefully, it'll make a little sense. We can try. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Shechozun Bichle Zayin Limikoman, Avol Rak Toch Apayim Amos. Those words in parentheses, remember, are words that I added. And I'm following Rashi's view. We're going to see later on that not everybody agrees with those words. But this way to take Rav's answer is that our source that said you can go home says you can go home with your weapons, but only within 2,000 Amos. And that's it. And that's the way we match the sources. We say, Rabbi Gamliel wasn't talking about weapons in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein was just talking travel. And he said, you have up to 2,000 amos. And Rav is agreeing with Rabbi Gamliel that you only have 2,000 amos. His only note is, by the way, you can take your weapons home also. Why would I want to take my weapons home? Safety. Right? You're in the middle of fighting a war. Right? If you're fighting a war, you don't want to abandon your weapons at the battlefield. It's generally not a good idea. And in fact, watch as the line continues. Kiddesanya, like the Braisa says, there was indeed an event, something that happened to trigger this permission. Initially, they would leave their weapons in the house closest to the wall. They would get to the nearest safe place, and they would drop their weapons there. So at one point, there was such a case. The Jews were fighting a battle to save a community on Shabbos. They won the battle. They felt that they were safe. They returned and they dropped off their weapons in at the depot. And the enemy pursued them. So the Jews went running back to the depot to pick up their weapons. And the enemy entered with them. The Jews are all running into the depot to get their weapons, and there's a big scramble for it, and the Jews end up harming themselves more than the enemy does in the rush to get the weapons. That's what ends up happening. So therefore they said, at that point they enacted that people could go home with their weapons. That's the way that Rav resolves it, again using Rashi's read of Rav. Okay? So there's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the source in Rosh Hashanah. Both agree that you have only 2,000 amos. What we're adding in the source in Erevin is that you can also carry your weapons home. That's it. Note
that that's Chosin L'Mekomon satisfies that.
Correct. That's the argument. That's Rashi's argument. Chosin L'Mekomon means Chosin L'Mekomon within 2,000 amos. We're going to see another view, but yes. Now, recognize that you cannot extrapolate from the weapons to the physician with his tools. In other words, until I read this, until I read the reason why the Maisa Shahaya, I would have said, well, soldier with weapons, doctor with tools, they can both, you know, travel, these are the tools of the trade. Now I understand it's not. Because once you place this in the context of Maisa Shahaya, this story, what we're really saying is Pikuach Nefesh. It's about saving lives. I need my weapons, because otherwise I could get attacked, and we have a disaster on our hands. It's not true for the physician. Let you leave your equipment there, unless you're going to argue, as Rav Moshe argues in a tshuva we'll see later, that you may need them to save somebody else. Then you're back to the Pikuach Nefesh case again. We'll get to that. God willing. But that's Rav. Rav Nachman Yitzchak gives me a second answer, not as relevant for our discussion in general, but it's important for the completeness of the discussion in Erevin. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, where I put the number 2, Lo Kasha, he says, no problem. Kan Shenitzchu Yisrael es Umos Ha'olam, Kan Shenitzchu Umos Ha'olam es Atzman. That's a little bit of euphemism there, that last word of Atzman. It depends who won the war, right? If we won, he says, that's what you're talking about when you say you have only 2,000 amos. Okay, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein says that that's where you have a 2,000 amos limit because you won the war. What's the big deal? Whereas our Mishnah in Source Aleph is talking about where we didn't win. They won. And therefore you can travel as far as you need to travel, again because of Pikuach Nefesh. Right? Because you're not about to say, well, excuse me, soldiers, we only can go travel up to the Tchum to save ourselves from, you know, the nasty enemy soldiers. It doesn't work well during a retreat, as a general rule. So that's the flow of this Mishnah and the Gemara. A couple of key points here. In particular, one point. We didn't distinguish in the word lahatzil as part of this whole thing. We said in the Mishnah, kol hayotzim lahatzil chozrin l'mekomon, anyone who goes to save lives. Is this military specific, or would this apply to a physician as well? Right? Our resolution that Rav offers doesn't make it clear. Going back to not Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is clearly a military comment. But Rav, granted the issue of the weapons, but the general principle of Rav, that when you went lahatzil, you can return 2,000 amos, is he talking about anybody who goes to save lives? Or is it specific to a military situation? So Moshe Feinstein says it's talking about all cases, and he proves it based on Tosfos. If you take a look at source Dalet, I'm going to jump source Gimel, which is where Ramosha actually makes the argument. I brought it so you could see it, but we have so much to see in this year that I don't want to spend a lot of time on reading through what he actually wrote there. But in source Dalet, you see a list in the Gemara in Beitza. V'amar Ula. Ula says, Shlosha Devarim Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. There are three cases in which the Chachamim permitted you to do something at the end of a process in order to ensure that you would start the process. Now, the context in Beitza is Simchas Yom Tov, the joy of Yom Tov, making sure that people will prepare meat for Yom Tov, right? With the concern being that if you can't do certain things with the animal, then you're never going to shecht in the first place. That's the idea. So he says there are three activities that they permitted in order to ensure that you would shecht. Ve'iluhein, and these are the three. Again, the parenthetical words are my own. Shtichas or lifnei hadorsan, taking the hide of the animal and placing it in front of the people who are going to trample it in order to work the hide. So they said, if we don't allow you to do that, you aren't going to shecht the animal to have food for Yom Tov. You aren't going to shecht on Yom Tov in the first place, because you'll say, well, I'm going to lose the hide. I'd rather have less food for Yom Tov meal and not lose the value of the hide. It needs to be processed. Also, they permitted you to reaffix the door, essentially, for your shop. People would set up shop on Yom Tov, not engaging in commerce, but engaging in distribution of items that people would use for Yom Tov, and then they would charge you afterwards. But there's technically a derabbanan you're violating if you reaffix the doors and close up shop on Yom Tov. But they said you can do it, because otherwise people won't open the store in the first place. V'chazaras ratiyah b'mikdash, and a kohen who wanted to go work in the Beis HaMikdash, who had a bandage on his hand, and there he has to remove the bandage in order to do the avodah, would be allowed to return the bandage onto his hand again on Yom Tov, because it would ensure that kohenim would do the avodah, that they would actually do the work in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the list there. Three cases in which the Chachamim said, we'll let you technically break the law at the end, in order to ensure that you will do the initial action, in order to ensure that you'll shech the animal, in order to ensure that you'll open up the store, in order to ensure that you'll take the bandage off to go do the work in the Beis HaMikdash. Follow? So Tosfos in Erevin asks, well, wait a minute, you should have included this business about going home after you've gone to save a life. That's also a sofan mishum chilasan. They're permitting you to do something at the end in order to ensure that you'll go to save a life in the first place. Why isn't that on the list? So Tosfos' answer to that question is an interesting answer. Tosfos' answer is, I think I brought it on the sheet. Yeah, I did. It's source Yud Dalet on the sheet. He says, "Kol yotzei lahatzir chozer lemekamon." That's the quote from Erevin. Hadlo chashiv lebeperakama debeitza. The fact that they didn't list this, that you can return home, in their list in Beitza. Gabay hanoch gimel deitiv sofan mishum chilas. And regarding the three, where they said we allow the end, we allow your action at the end in order to make sure you'll start the process in the beginning. Does that ain't no chidush? It's because our case is not a novelty at all. That you can return home is not a novelty. Whereas all those three had something to add. They had something unique to say. So Rav Moshe looks at that Tosfos and says that if I were to take the idea that saving lives is not about all saving lives, it's only about war, then that really would be a novelty. So therefore, the Tosfos' answer wouldn't make any sense. He says, Tosfos must understand, Ramosha says, that this heter of you can go home on Shabbos applies to all cases where you went to save lives. Not just a military situation, but for example, a physician. It's going to apply across the board. The Hartzir, Tzvi Pesach Frank, disagrees on this read of Tosfos, but I'm going to stop that point with that. Yes?
Isn't the one case about Shabbos one to talk about Yom Tov?
Yes, and that's among the reasons to differentiate, but not necessarily. It's a good question. When I said in the opening, I said that this is an incredibly complex topic, there are a lot of offshoots to this that I went through in preparing it, and that I just had to pare off, because this could have easily been a four-part shiur. It really could have been. But because we're doing these once a month, I'd like to avoid that, if at all possible. Okay. Not because you won't remember what we did last time, but I won't remember what we did last time. Okay. So that's one key source, is the Gemara in Erevin. The key question to remember coming out of that source is the question of what does Rav mean? When Rav says that when you left, you're allowed to go home, right? He says you can carry the weapons. Does he mean up to 2,000 amos, or does he mean unlimited? That's the key question that emerges. We read it Rashi's way, that Rav is saying you only have up to 2,000 amos. That's it. Okay. The next key source to see is source Hay, which we actually saw quoted already, so I'm not going to go through it again inside. We already quoted it as part of source Bet. But that's Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken's enactment for the witnesses who came to see the new moon, as well as for others who came to save people, that you have 2,000 amos in every direction. But then you have source Vav. And source Vav is where things really get interesting. Source Vav is also from Rosh Hashanah, also regarding witnesses who came to testify about the new moon. This is a Mishnah. Mishnah tells the story that once more than 40 pairs of witnesses came to testify about the new moon. I don't need 40 pairs of witnesses. All I need is one pair. There are a lot of people who are in that category that we saw in Source Aleph. Parnas Amasa, it's already done. So you should say to them, forget it, stop there. And that's what Rabbi Akiva did. They reached Lod, and Rabbi Akiva says, stop here. Shalach la Rabbi Gamliel. This is Rabbi Gamliel the second. This is not Rabbi Gamliel Hazake. This is Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva's era. That's a hugely important point for a reason we'll get to later. Rabbi Gamliel says, "Im akev atas harabim nimtzesa machshilon la'asid lavo." Rabbi Gamliel says, "You know, if you're going to hold people up here, then they're not going to come next time, right? They're just going to say, well, who needs it? Last time around, I showed up, and everybody else had seen the moon too. If I see the moon, presumably other people see the moon also. So forget it. Why do I need to go in order to be held up in Lud? Who wants to be in Lud for Shabbos?" Right? I mean, there are better places to be for Shabbos. So therefore, he says, let them all go through. Now, what are you violating if you go all the way to the Beis Din? Chum Shabbos? Del Raisa? Del Rabbanan? Do we know? Not sure. So here's an interesting historical point. I was going to bring it later, but I decided to bring it now because I want to make sure I remember to bring it now. Why it matters which Rabbi Gamliel this is. There are those who wanted to argue from here that it's clear that you're permitting even a De'oraisa to make sure people will show up next time. Because where is the Beis Din? Where is the Beis Din sit? Yerushalayim. Did everybody say Yerushalayim? Oh, boy. It's not going to help you. It would have been Yerushalayim if this was Rabbi Gamliel Hazake. This is Rabbi Gamliel II. Rabbi Gamliel II is in Yavne, which is not necessarily beyond a D'oraisa Chum. So it's very interesting. There was an article written on this by Mordechai Halperin in the journal Asya, where he wanted to make the point that we permit even D'oraisas. And he mentioned that the distance from Lod to Yerushalayim is clearly beyond the 12 mil. And he brought sources for it and all that. And a questioner wrote back to him, and it's printed in the journal there, and said, well, you know, Rabbi Gamliel is in Yavne, not in Yerushalayim. So he acknowledged the point. He had other proofs to his position, as we'll see. But you have to know who you're talking about. Rabbi Gamliel here is in Yavne, not Yerushalayim. In any case, though, the Rabbi Gamliel says, let him go through. Sur Zion is the Yerushalmi's version of this story, Yerushalmi and Moed Katan, and they add a fascinating line. Those who were at the class that I did on Siborology, we use this there as well. The Sholach lo Rabbi Gamliel, ma'akev atas harabim, if you're going to hold people up, nimtza machshilan la'asid lavo, it turns out that you're going to keep them from coming in the future. Then he says, lo nimtzeis ma'akev as harabim mila'asos mitzvah, won't you turn out that to be preventing the community from performing a mitzvah? Anybody who keeps the community from fulfilling a mitzvah should be excommunicated. That's how strongly the Yerushalmi evaluates this. That's how powerful it is here. So Rabbi Gamliel says they get to go through. Why does he? What's his justification? Pikuach nefesh saves. Pikuach nefesh overrides Shabbos. Hutra dechuya, whatever you want to say. But this isn't pikuach nefesh, this is setting up the calendar. Why not just let it go? So the Chasam Sofer presents a very interesting argument. Take a look at Sois Ches. The Chasam Sofer says, well, lefi ani yazdaiti, in my humble opinion, nafka mikra demaisi perek yom ha-kippur behe yom ha-beis. He quotes the Gemara in Yoma, behe yom ha-beis, where they bring a pasuk, v'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-shabbos, la'azos es ha-shabbos, the pasuk says. The Jews shall guard the Shabbos to make the Shabbos. So Amra Torah Kalil Shabbos Achas Kadesha Yishmor Shabbos Harbe. Based on that, we say, break one Shabbos in order to save many, right? That's a principle we apply regarding Pikuach Nefesh. So he says, Hachanami, here too. Kol Mikshol Ha'asid Al Yedei Zeh Yischal Lu Shabbos Harbe Bekil Kol Hamaladim. He says, the result of not getting this right in terms of the Luach is that people will violate many Shabbatot. Because they won't have a calendar. Because he's looking at Shabbos not as the seventh day of the week, but Shabbos meaning a day when you don't do malacha. Like usfartem lachem macharas haShabbos, right? Shabbos equals Shabbaton, a day when you don't do malacha. So he says, if they don't get this right, if they don't get the luach right, they're going to be wrong regarding Yom Tov.
But they're going to be on the scene, so...
Not just they'll be on Usim. I don't understand this answer at all. Because the Gemara tells us, Atem afilu shogin, atem afilu mutim, atem afilu mezidin. If the Beis Din sets this day as Yom Tov, this is Yom Tov. And it doesn't matter that it doesn't fit the moon. So the moon has its own Yom Tov. Exactly. That's my question regarding this. Nonetheless, that's the Chasim Sofer's explanation. And so with the concern, not just for people who don't see the moon, but if the Balthusians throw off the calendar, same concern. So they said, violate this Shabbos in order to enable them to keep many Shabbatot in the future by observing a proper luach. That's the Chasim Sofer's explanation of the logic. Rav Moshe Feinstein has another answer, which I brought here on the page. It's source test, but again, I'm not going to go through it inside just for lack of time, but I brought it here so you could see it. Rav Moshe says the original Derabbanan enactments were not created for a case where you would need to testify. In other words, the Rabbanan, when they created the Takana itself, their Derabbanan of Tchum, he's viewing it as a Derabbanan, they didn't create it for such a case. That's Rav Moshe's tshuva, and he has ways to prove that from the language. It's a very interesting approach. Bottom line out of this is that we now have to add two more questions. Our first question was, what did Rav mean? Did Rav mean you have 2,000 amos, or did Rav mean you can travel unlimited to get home? Now I have two more questions. Do you notice what we did here? What motive we added in this discussion when we entered into this Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva discussion in Source Vav? We added the principle of Nimseis Machshila Ma'asid Lavo. If you don't let them do it now, they aren't going to do it in the future. Right? They aren't going to come save lives in the future. They aren't going to come testify in the future. That wasn't what we brought back in Erevin. No one mentioned that in Erevin. All we said in Erevin was, if you left for a permitted purpose, you can go back. You left the Hatzil, you can go back. No one mentioned anything about what's going to happen in the future. Why didn't we bring that back in Erevin? You follow the question, right?
Can I ask you a question on the first question? Which is, what did Rav mean? If Rav only meant 2,000 amos, why did they have to bring the second part of the Mishnah? In the first, it's clear.
That's the Klei Zayin. They'll say the weapons. Rav is including the weaponry. That wasn't included in the opening. Well, that was Rav's answer. That's what Rav will say. Rav will say that the purpose of the Sefer was to include the weapons. But the third question we have to ask, and in some ways the most relevant, because it really gets down to the core of what we're asking about Rav, is Rav channeling Rabban Gamliel, or is Rav disagreeing with Rabban Gamliel? Does Erevin agree with Rosh Hashanah, or does Erevin disagree with Rosh Hashanah? That's really what it comes down to. Meaning, Rav says to me, Chozim b'chlei zayin l'mekoman. Rabban Gamliel says, I'm going to assume Rabban Gamliel is allowing the Oraisas, that he's allowing the witnesses to break the Oraisa law in order to get to Yavne. Okay, that's my assumption at the moment. I'm going to change that later, possibly, but I'm free to do that. Rabban Gamliel in Rosh Hashanah says you can break the De'oraisa. Is Rav agreeing with Rabban Gamliel? Is Rav disagreeing with Rabban Gamliel? And if so, on what basis? That's really what all of this has to come down to. So we take a look at the Rambam. And the Rambam, instead of clarifying this, is going to give us one more question to deal with before we get to some answers. Take a look, please, at Source Yud. He has two references to this issue in Hilchos Shabbos. The first one is in Source Yud. Goyim shetzaru al hayaros Yisrael. Right? There are Jews in their cities who are under siege. Imbo al iske mamon. If the enemy came because of financial things, this is something where they want to loot the city, ein machal in alein as a Shabbos. You can't break Shabbos in order to drive them off. That's the way it goes. You go to war. Unless, parenthetically, if you're dealing with a city that's near the border, where any loss of control means an invasion, essentially, of the country, then even if they came just to get straw for their animals, doesn't matter. You go to war because you need to protect your borders. This is viewed as a military situation. All bets are off. That yud is just a note for the Kesef Mishnah. It's an artifact of the text that I cut and pasted. The uvchol makom imbaal iskei nefashos. But in any case, whether it's a border or not, if they come to kill people, if they're going to hurt people, not hurt, they're going to kill. Osha aruchu melchama, or they wage war. Osha tsaru stam, or they laid siege. And they weren't kind enough to inform you at the start of the siege, whether they're there for property or whether they're to kill. It just wasn't in the memo. So, yotzin alein bechle zayin machal alein es haShabbos. It's a sign of a poorly formed siege, that they don't lay out the mission statement first. So, in such a case, you go to war, you violate Shabbos for it. It's a mitzvah for everybody to go out and help. You are not allowed to wait till Saturday night. And once you have saved your brethren, you're allowed to go home with the weapons on Shabbos, so as not to let anybody stumble in the future. Do you see what the Rambam just did? First of all, is it 2,000 amos or is it unlimited?
Unlimited.
He didn't place a limit on it, right? And second, what else did he do? He brought in the Rosh Hashanah in justification to what should have been an Erevin discussion. The Rambam has merged the two. He brought an argument that we didn't have in Erevin. We had that in Rosh Hashanah about the witnesses for the new moon. How did that end up in an Erevin discussion? What did the Rambam do here? Especially perplexing when you take a look at Source Yud Aleph. Hayotze Bershus. A person was leaving for a permitted reason. That now expands to include the midwife and all those other cases. V'amrulo, and they told him, b'derech, while he's en route, k'varnaseis ha-mitzvah, it's already done. The k'varnaseis ha-mitzvah she-yatzes la-asos, yeshlo mi-mekomo al-paim amol-chol ruach, he has 2,000 amos, right? The Rambam is being a good boy. We said 2,000 amos. V'imhaya mitzvah t'chum she-yatzim eru bershus, muvla besoch al-paim amos, yeshlo mi-mekomo, reza chozol mi-mekomo al-kilu lo-yatzah. That was the second note we had in our Mishnah in Erevin. That if, within his 2,000 amos, he can get back into his original tchum, so he can go home. If you're going to save lives, whether it's from an enemy, whether it's from a river, whether it's from a collapsed building, you have 2,000 amos. Unless the enemy's hand is stronger, and you're afraid to stay there, then you can go home on Shabbos, all the way home with your weapons. That's Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, right, that we brought in back in source bet. But the point is, what did the Rambam do here in Source Yud Aleph? 2,000 amos. We lost our unlimited travel. What happened? What is the Rambam doing between Source Yud and Source Yud Aleph? How do we understand what the Rambam has done here? Does the Rambam contradict himself? Yes.
You can make the case that Yud is saying that he's learning like Rav, which we originally put that said that it's returning it back only to within 2,000 hours.
Correct. But then why didn't the Rambam say so? Just because he's using Rav's language.
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll come to that. That indeed is going to be one approach. I brought you the sources in Shulchan Aruch just to show them to you, but it's fundamentally the same problem. Source Yud Bet, the Shulchan Aruch gives you Rav's language verbatim. He adds in the Klei Zayin, Rav's emendation of the Mishnah. And then in Source Yud Gimel, he's going to give you again the 2,000 amo limit. The only thing the Shulchan Aruch didn't do was he didn't bring the Sofan Mishum Chilasan language the way the Rambam did. Okay, so how do we understand this? The major questions are, what does Rav really mean? Is Rav channeling Rabban Gamliel and saying you have more than 2,000 amos, or is Rav limited to 2,000 amos? That's one question. And question number two is, what game is the Rambam playing here, importing Sofan Mishum Chilasan, that appeared in Rosh Hashanah, into the Erevin discussion? Why didn't the Gemara do it, and why does the Rambam do it? Okay, and for those who are hanging on just hoping for the halacha part, we'll get to that too. Yes? Yes, that's Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Remember that in the Gemara, when we initially asked it in source bet, when we asked the question of the contradiction, or apparent contradiction between our Mishnah and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak's answer was that it's where the beyond 2,000 amos is if you didn't win the war. So since you didn't win the war and you're still in danger, you can do everything. That, yes, both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch follow Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. The only question is, do they follow Rav also? Are they adopting both answers? Okay. So, let's see what we can do here. The majority approach is to say that Rav only permits Dirabanans to return home. That's all that Rav will permit. And that the Rambam will only permit that as well. And Rav is not channeling Rabban Gamliel at all. Rabban Gamliel is his case, and Rav is his case. What is the proof? First of all, they bring the proof from the language in the Gemara itself. They bring proof first from Rabban Gamliel HaZakein, the older Rabban Gamliel, who only allowed 2,000 amos for the witnesses who came to testify about the new moon, right, in Source Hay. So Rabban Gamliel HaZakein is limiting it to 2,000 amos. Number two, they take Rashi's read of our Gemara in Erevin, which is the logical read of the Gemara. Think about what the Gemara asked. The Gemara wanted to know, our Mishnah says that you can go Limakoman. And we challenged that and said, well, wait a minute, the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, they only permitted 2,000 amos. Right? That was our initial challenge. How is it they permit 2,000 amos there, and here it should be unlimited? And so Rav's answer is, they can go with their weapons in our Gemara. Well, how does that resolve anything? The only way it really resolves things, this is the logical read, is if we're saying he's talking about the weapons, and that's why the line is needed in the Mishnah, however, it's only up to 2,000 amos. So then I understand, okay, no contradiction. Rosh Hashanah says 2,000 amos, RK says 2,000 amos, and we all go home happy. That's why Rashi reads the Gemara the way he does. If you're going to tell me that Rav is explaining our Mishnah to say you have unlimited travel, then all he did is exacerbate the contradiction. He made the contradiction worse. Right? Our Mishnah said, if you left Lahatzil, you can go home. There they said you only have 2,000 amos. How do I resolve it? Oh, that's okay. In our case, it's unlimited, and you can carry your weapons. In that case, it's not. That didn't solve any problems. That only made the problem worse. So that's a major reason why you should only read this as permitting the Rabbanans. Further, they say, look at that list of Sofan Mishum Tchilasen that we saw in the Gemara in Beitza. Right? That list only permitted the Rabbanans, putting the hide out in front of the people who are going to trample it. These are all the Rabbanans that they're fundamentally permitting. And so the Bach notes, and so the Magen Avram notes, that we only permit the Rabbanans, Sovan Mishum Tchilasa. Now, you could argue, as indeed somebody argued here, the list in Beitza is only about the joy of Yom Tov. It's not about saving lives. Right, the Sofan Mishum Chilasan, we want to make sure you're going to shech the meat. We want to make sure they're going to open the stores. I mean, how critical is that? We're going to permit Del Rices for that? No. So the list in Beitza maybe shouldn't be relevant for us. And indeed, the Shita Mekubetzes makes that point in the Gemara in Beitza. However,
you can argue the other way around.
Yes?
You can say that the Del Rices are the obvious, and that's what the Gemara today is telling you. It's only the Drabonans that you can still do. In other words, for sure, Mishum Chilasan would apply to a Del Rice.
Why?
Because, in other words, that's a Dover Pashut that for Simchas Yom Tov you're going to be able to say that you're going to be able to do a Doraisa, but for a Drabanan we're not so sure that we're going to allow it. Comes the Mishnah to tell you there are three cases that you can do it.
Because of the principle in Beitza that people take Drabanans less seriously and therefore we need to reinforce them?
Well, I mean, however you're going to, but at the end of the day, in other words, the Mishnah's hidden, that the whole concept is that you're going to have. That's what the mission is telling you, three cases.
I wouldn't think so, though. I mean, Simchas Yom Tov is such a vague thing. To say that you could permit a Del Raisa, you know, to make sure he shechts another animal, I would think would be difficult. But Rav Mordechai Halperin, in the article I mentioned earlier... Yes?
Different question.
Yeah.
If you're going out to that same Pashat...
Yes.
Is that a Del Raisa or a Del Rabbanan? If a Del Raisa, you have to finish the mitzvah. Perhaps returning home is finishing the mitzvah.
Why?
That's a good question. Because if I'm not back home, and maybe it's a little bit of Sofan Mishum Tchilatan, but if I hadn't gone out with the intention of returning home, I would not have gone out in the first place with this.
But that's Sofan Mishum Tchilatan. But Rav Mordechai Halperin has a fascinating suggestion with huge practical ramifications, and it goes back to the question that you asked about whether the permission to return home would apply not just to physicians, but to anybody who went to the hospital. Rav Mordechai Halperin, in his article in Ostia, which he says is not intended as a practical guide, he's just raising a thought, wants to distinguish between Rabban Gamliel HaZakein's enactment in Yavne, not in Yavne, we're doing like in Yerushalayim, I should say. And Sofan Mishum Tchilasan. Watch this is brilliant. Whether he's right or not, I can't say, but it's brilliant. He says, look, Rabbi Gamliel in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken in Yerushalayim, before the story with Rabbi Akiva, initially, says, you get 2,000 amos in every direction. Does he care whether you actually want those 2,000 amos or need those 2,000 amos? Is there any sort of caveat? None. It's a flat rule. Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken says, witnesses consider this the place where they rest for Shabbos, and they can travel no matter what, 2,000 amos. That's the way it works. They want to go for a stroll, they need to get something, whatever it is, makes no difference. Whereas, the permission of Sofon Mishum Chilasan, make sure that they get to go home, because otherwise they won't go do it in the first place, only applies if there's a concern that they wouldn't have done it in the first place. Right? In other words, it's not an open-ended permission, sure, you can go home. You can go home if that's the factor that's going to ensure that you're going to go out next time you're called upon to save a life, or called upon to do whatever it is, testify whatever it is. It's not an open-ended permission. It depends on the situation. It depends on the person. So, for example, to take the case of somebody who's sitting at home, and God forbid, but they have some kind of an accident in the house, and they're scared, and they need to go to the hospital, right? So, in such a case, they're not going to say next time, oh, I don't want to go to the hospital because I'll be stuck there. Right? They're bleeding profusely from the wrist. They're not going to say, well, gee, I'm going to get stuck at the hospital.
Yeah, they will.
Well, that's... right, I want to come to that. But this is Mordechai Halperin's argument. His argument is that you need to distinguish between those two types of cases. So that when Tosfos asks, why isn't our case on the list in Beitza of Hitiru Sofon Mishum Tchilasan, he says that Tosfos was asking about Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken's enactment. Why wasn't that one on the list? The open-ended permission. Why wasn't that one on the list? And that's the one that's just for Derabbanan's, like the set in Beitza. However, he says, the Misofon Mishum Chilasan will permit even the Oraisas. It's just not the one that Tosfos was asking about. He distinguishes between the two permissions, says there is a qualitative difference between the two in terms of what it will permit. We're going to see more about that later on. But but it's a very interesting argument that he presents. I bring it here because the Tzitz Eliezer and Shlomo Zalman Orbach both wrote that Tosfos, trying to insert our Sofon Mishum Tchilasan on the list of the three, shows that we're only talking about permitting derabbanans, just like those on the list of the three. But his argument is, Tosfos isn't talking about the Del Raisa permissions, he's talking about the other one, the derabbanan permissions. But we'll come back to that. The bottom line is that we use the language of the Gemara itself to show that it's likely only derabbanans. Further, the Gemara in Erevin itself leans in that direction. Because the Gemara in Erevin didn't bring the concern about the future. The Gemara in Erevin only brought, at most, the Maaseh Shehayah, the story where they got stuck with the weapons. But from the fact that the Gemara in Erevin didn't bring the argument of make sure they're going to show up next time, that shows that that's not a consideration. That Tzitz Eliezer, the Mabit, the Hechal Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Levi Herzog, all bring that argument, essentially, in slightly varying forms. They argue that the fact that we didn't bring in Erevin, this issue of what is going to happen next time, shows that Erevin is only permitting you to return home with derabbanans. There's another reason to say it's only derabbanans. Just in terms of the power of the rabbanan, what kind of power do the chachamim really have here to say, oh sure, go ahead and do that, even though it's Shabbos? The Tzitz Eliezer quotes of Shlomo Kluger, and the Minchas Chinuch as well, saying we only permit derabbanans. The Chachamim don't have the ability to say, go violate a deoraisa in order to make sure you're going to show up next time. Sorry? Yeah, but that doesn't permit you to lift a deoraisa. The Asheyah Bayamimahim is enough for the Rabbanans. Do we have any case where they will permit you to lift a Del Raisa actively? Passively, we do. We do it all the time. We did it Erev Pesach. Right? They eliminated the Del Raisa of your Chametz. We all got rid of our Chametz well in advance of midday. The Mitzvah of Tashbisu kicks in after midday. None of us fulfilled that biblical mitzvah, I hope. you kind of hope. As a matter of fact, there's a view the Magen Bali HaTosfos that's cited in the Mordechai Pesachim that says you should keep a kezias of chametz till after midday just to fulfill the biblical mitzvah. I dare you. No one does that. But theoretically, you know, that's how. What did the Chachamim do by telling us to destroy the chametz earlier? They actually eliminated a biblical mitzvah. But it's a shei bal pa'aseh. Because what happens is, simply when you reach the zman, you don't have any chametz left to destroy. Right? It happens when the first day of Rosh Hashanah is a Shabbos. Right? They say, don't blow shofar. They're getting rid of a Del-Raisa that year. Your shofar you're going to blow on day two isn't a Del-Raisa. But again, it's not a kumaseh, it's a shei bal pa'aseh. Here they're telling you, get up and do. That's beyond their authority. The Tzitz Eliezer also brings a fascinating argument on this point. He says, even if you'll permit it for Eidus HaChodesh, even if you'll permit it for witnesses to testify about the new moon, you won't necessarily permit it for Chilul Shabbos. You know why? You remember that Chasam Sofer we read with the logic of why witnesses could break Shabbos for the calendar? Kinesha Yishmor Shabbosos Harbe, right? But now it's the opposite. We want to ensure that he's going to show up next time, right? It's in Tzitz Eliezer brings it in Tesvav, but I'm not going to read it inside. You can see it there. He says it's just the opposite. We want to make sure you're going to break Shabbos again. You want to make sure you're going to show up next time to save a life. It's Kadesh Yechalol Shabbos Harbei. So he says even if you'll permit it for the sake of the witnesses for the new moon, it doesn't mean that you'll permit it for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. That's a very interesting approach. So that's the majority approach in the poskim. However, there's a very significant minority that disagrees and says, look at Rav's language. Rav didn't say 2,000 amos. He said, Limakom on. Granted, the logical read may be 2,000 amos. It doesn't have to be so. And they point for evidence, they point to Rabban Gamliel. Look at Rabban Gamliel's stance in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. This is the stance of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says it must be so. He says to read the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah otherwise doesn't work. Some suggested, you know how you could read the story of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva in Rosh Hashanah? That Rabbi Akiva stops them and Rabban Gamliel says, go through. So some wanted to suggest that Rabbi Akiva is saying, I believe Tchum is biblical. And therefore, they have to stop here because they can't violate a biblical law when the calendar is already set. And Rabbi Gamliel comes back to him and says, no, Tchum is derabanan. And therefore, they can keep on going. That's how some wanted to read that. And the Aruch Lener reads the Gemara that way. It's actually a debate about Tchum. And they're not disagreeing at all about what you can do on Shabbos. They're disagreeing about whether Tchum is derais or derabanan. And the Chasam Sofer says, you've got to be kidding me. He says, that's dochak. That's a strained read. Why? Because it's not as though they're just traveling without anything. They're carrying stuff. They have food for the trip. Of course they're violating Del-Raisas. Even if Tumas Derabanan, they're still traveling in Rishus Harabim, in a public domain, transporting stuff. That's the Chasam Sofer's argument. The Tzitz Eliezer comes back and says no. Tzitz Eliezer says they could find some way to make sure they're dragging, they're bringing the stuff in some way that it's only a Derabanan. He argues that it's not. But the Chasam Sofer says, absolutely not. Rabbi Gamliel permitted biblical, and that's what we are borrowing here. That's the position of the Chasam Sofer. There are arguments against, but because we're short on time, I want to make sure to see a few other things. I'm sorry that it's running so long. If anyone has to leave, you know, I won't be offended. There are arguments against the Chasam Sofer's position based on the Tosfos Shanim and Yoma. And you know what? If anybody wants other material afterwards, I'll write it out and email you the things that I'm skipping because it's interesting material. The Igros Moshe Feinstein wrote what has become a very well-known tshuva regarding Hatzalah, where he was asked by people who go out for Hatzalah, can they return home after their trips? Hatzalah, for anyone who's not familiar, is the Jewish ambulance corps. I think people generally know. But generally familiar. It's basically Jewish Ambulance Corps, we'll call it. Volunteers. So Rav Moshe said, I believe that Tosfos and the Rashba permit even De'oraisas. He believes that that's actually their read, that it's even De'oraisas that are permitted, and he sees that in the Rambam as well, and that's the other key source. Aside from the logic of Rav, look at the Rambam in the second paragraph. The first Rambam that we brought there seems to say that you can do De'oraisas. Now, the Yad Eson on that Rambam says, come on, he's just relying on what he's going to say in the later paragraph. He's using the language of the Mishnah. Right? Go back again to source Yud and source Yud Aleph. And the Rambam, when he says at the end of Source Yud, "Kshatzilu as ha'cheya and mutar lehanlachzor b'chlei zayin shalhen lemekomam b'shabbos," and they can return home with their weapons, and he doesn't limit it to 2,000 amos. That's because he knows that in Parakhav Zayin, in Source Yud Aleph, he's going to tell you it's only up to 2,000 amos. That's the way the Yad Eson reads it. That's the way that many read it. Rav Moshe says, no way. He says, it's not so. Why? Because there are many differences between the two passages. There are many other differences there, such as the reasoning that's brought in Source Yud is Shalol Hachshilo Ma'asilavo, to keep them from not going next time. The source that's brought in Source Yud Aleph is about imminent danger right now. They haven't won the war. He says these are two entirely different sources. You can't tell me that the Rambam wrote something in Yud Aleph that he intended also to apply to Yud. The cases are radically different. That's Ramosha's argument. He says it can't be so. Then how do I explain the contradictions? So Ramosha offers the following answer. Ramosha says, the case in the second perek discusses a case in which the job is a short job and relatively easy. And so they go planning to return home that day. And they might not go next time if they don't get home. Take a look again. Source Yud was the case where there was a siege against a Jewish city. Ramosha maintains, that's where you expect to fight it off that day. As opposed to the case in Source Yud Aleph, where there's an overall invasion. It's not one city, it's an overall invasion. Or a building collapsed, or a river overflowed, and there's danger to the houses in the town. He says those cases are cases that you expect to last much longer. And therefore, you don't go expecting to get home the same day. Ramosha says it's all psychology. If you go expecting to return home the same day, you can break the horizons to get home the same day. Because otherwise you won't do it next time. If you go planning, this is going to be a long trip, then you can't break Shabbos to get home early if it turns out that you finished the job on Shabbos. That's Ramosha. Rav Mordechai Halperin presents a little bit of a different argument, again going back to the distinction we made before. Rav Mordechai Halperin says that in the case in Perek Bet that the Rambam is talking about, he's dealing with, indeed, somebody who wouldn't go the next time. He's somebody who wouldn't go if you didn't let him get home on Shabbos this time. The case in Source Yud Aleph is an open-ended case. It's not dependent on who you are. That's the 2,000 amo limit. He says there are two different types of cases.
If you're going to argue psychology,
yes,
the repeated action of going and not returning, because of the Inyanei Shalom Bayit as one example, may eventually bring you to the point where it's going to be Mashilan and you won't go the next time. So there's potentially a cumulative psychology that attaches to it.
Yes. Yes. True. All true.
Right. You can't make a blanket statement of viewing psychology. It may differ from case to case, and it may differ.
You got it. Which is exactly Mordechai Halperin's point. That's why he says we generally bring the 2,000 amma limit when we want to talk clearly, and when we specify shalol hashila, and that's where the psychology comes into play. That's much more dicey. That's the idea. There's one more argument to be brought here. I'm sorry, within this, sorry, one more point. If the Rambam really did permit the Araisas, that's another of the points that I won't do, but I will do one other point from the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer has a whole novel approach that he brings only to reject, but it's a fascinating approach that has to be mentioned. Remember the principle of Hoil? The rule on Yom Tov is that I'm allowed to cook on Yom Tov for my guests. Not only that, even if I don't know there are guests who are going to show up, we say, since I am permitted to cook for guests, I am allowed to cook even if I don't know that any guests are going to show up. There's a Tosfos in Pesachim which says, maybe I should apply that to Shabbos as well. Number one, we extend it to Shabbos. And number two, I could thereby permit everything on Shabbos. Take a look at Source Yud Zayin. The Im Tomar, you might ask, Iam Rinan Hoil, if we say Hoil, this principle of, since I can do it permissibly, I can therefore do it in the other cases as well, then Im Kein Vitalta Kol Malacha Shabbos, you can get rid of all the laws of Malacha on Shabbos. However, Roy L'chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, since I can do this for somebody who is dangerously ill, I can do it for anybody. Right? That's Tosis's argument. And he says, V'yesh Lomar, look at his answer. His answer is bizarre. He says, you could say, since You don't have dangerously ill people lying around. It just doesn't, it's not common. Therefore, we won't apply the Ha'il answer. Just like on Yom Tov, I can't cook half an hour before sunset and say, well, guests might still show up. It's not a reasonable assumption. So too, it's not reasonable to assume that you're going to have a dangerously ill person. Wow. Well, then anybody who works in a hospital, right, and anybody who lives in a population of any decent size, right, is going to say, but I do. So now you can do whatever you like. We've completely gotten rid of Melachos HaShabbos. So the Tzitz Eliezer scrambles to provide answers for this. It's funny because there's a history to this question before he brings it up. The Maritz Chias asked this question. And the Chasam Sofer said, you're crazy, you can't ask that question. That's not the nonsense, forget it. But when you look in the Chasam Sofer's Chidushim to Psachim, he actually asks the question there. The Chasam Sofer himself asks the question. But apparently only for pilpul purposes, just to discuss it, not as a practical thing. So they offer all sorts of answers for this. The Chasam Sofer himself says that it has to be that there would be an ill person who needed this malacha specifically. It's not just that there's a dangerously ill person, but a dangerously ill person who required lighting a fire for the driving heder or whatever it's going to be. The Tzitz Eliezer suggests maybe it's not considered part of the act of saving him. Right? Driving to the, in other words, the idea is let's permit you to drive home because you will be allowed to drive to save somebody's life. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, well, maybe the driving to save the life isn't actually the life saving itself. It's only a hechsher. It's only to get you to that point. There are all sorts of interesting answers for this. Baruch Frankel Tolman suggests an answer. It's a great topic. I just had to mention that possibility because it's really so out there. But let's get down to the practical. We've answered our major questions in different ways, right? Our major questions were, what does Rav mean? And the answer is the majority seem to think, based on the flow of the Gemara, that Rav is permitting Dirabanan specifically within 2,000 Amos. He's not going beyond. That's backed up by the fact that the Gemara in Erevin didn't bring Sofan Mishum Tchilas and the logic from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which was more open-ended. But there's a minority view that says, no, Rav meant even beyond that. Rav would indeed permit even beyond the 2,000 Amos. We asked the question about the Rambam, and again, there's one view that suggests the Rambam meant to say you have a 2,000 Amo limit based on what he wrote later on, but then there's a very strong read that says not necessarily, and Ramosha is in that camp, that says that the Rambam, in fact, would permit, even beyond 2,000 Amos, reading Rav as talking about their rises. In practice, the tendency among the poskim is indeed to permit specifically the Rabbanans. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Tzitz Eliezer, the Shmir Shabbos Kehelchasa, the Nishmas Avram, all of them permit the Rabbanans to get home. They don't permit their rises. They all say, you know what you should do? You should call a cab. You went to the hospital in order to save somebody's life, so call a cab. You tell someone who isn't Jewish to make the phone call. That's a derabanan. It's amir lahakum, right? You pay the guy. That's a derabanan, paying him, as long as you don't demand that he print out a receipt for you. And that's it. They recommend that the person who was called to the hospital, if he wants to get home, should do derabanans. They do cite the dissenting views, but they don't rely on them. On the other hand, there is that view of the Chasam Sofer that says that no, we should read it indeed as permitting biblicals. Even those who permit the deraisas, though, limited based on the psychology of Sofan Mishum Tchilasa. So to give specific cases. Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog in his Heichal Yitzchak talked about people who go out to defend Jews when there's he's writing pre-state Israel. So when there was a pogrom or an attack, so Jews go out to defend the community there. He says, you're not going to not go next time. So therefore he says, I won't permit you to use Deoraisis to go home. Or later writers write about an army unit and say, the army unit is for sure going to go next time. They have to. They have orders. So therefore, there's no heter of breaking a deoraisa in order to get home. The Chasam Sofer brings the case of a Jew who is called to take care of a non-Jewish patient on Shabbos. So the Jew has to go violate Shabbos with a non-Jewish patient. He says, for sure you're going to go next time, because if you don't go, he's going to kill you. How in the world are you gonna create a fight like that? I don't want to go because I can't get home on Shabbos. You try that. So he says, this is a very circumscribed type of a heter. This sofa mishum chilasan heter. However, I want to go back to that point about the vague psychology and the issue of the person for himself, because the truth of the matter is that psychology is odd in that way. I know somebody who a few weeks ago and took a fall on Shabbos and had a head impact and was told by a neurologist that, you know what, it might be a good idea to get that checked out of the hospital. It was a hard enough fall. You have to worry, maybe possibly a concussion. Sorry, hematoma. Right. So the person didn't go. Because it's a whole hang up at the hospital, I'll just wait till Saturday night. So people do think that way. And not only that, I had a guest over Shabbos who is a neurologist, and I was discussing the issue with him, and he said the doctor may have the same problem. Because he said, his rule in his practice, I don't know if this is an overall rule or just what he was talking about for his own experience, is that if it's a non-urgent thing, it has to be within 24 hours. If it's urgent, then you have to see the patient right away. So he said, there's always a borderline case where, well, is this urgent or is this non-urgent, and I can push it off till after Shabbos. And if it's going to mean that he's going to be stuck there all day long, he's going to be stuck at the hospital, away from his family, away from his kids, he said he'll feel a gray area push to say, you know what, let it be until afterwards, because he knows he's going to be miserable stuck there over Shabbos. Now, my response is, you still have the Derabbanan. You can still do the call a cab route. It's not as though you're stuck there over Shabbos. But nonetheless, the psychology is fuzzy. It's not so clear that you can say, oh, you'll definitely go next time. It's not necessarily so, as has been pointed out. One last point, very brief but important. There's a whole other discussion that you have to have, which we're not going to, but I'm mentioning it, about what if you could save lives by returning home. The Rav Moshe discusses this in the Hatzala case. If you have resources back at home or at your base, right, and you're now at the hospital and you're not leaving the hospital, you may not have the resources that you need. He was dealing in a less portable time. He's writing this decades ago. He deals with oxygen tanks and things like that, things that are, I think, more readily available now than they may have been at that point. But what if you have greater resources by returning home to be able to help somebody new? Or there's a shiloh that was asked in Israel that's printed up in Asia in the seventh volume, where you had someone who was a physician in a community called Neve Tzuf, and he wanted to know, if he goes to the hospital, he's the only physician in the community in Neve Tzuf. If he goes to the hospital and he stays there over Shabbos, somebody in Neve Tzuf might need him. And now they won't have him because he's over at the hospital. So does he return home so that he can help people in the Beit Suf? So the consensus among the poskim, to shorten a very long discussion, is that it depends on the likelihood that someone's going to need you. That's really, you're supposed to gauge based on the normal case. You can't make an open-ended assumption, yes, they're going to need me, but you go based on statistics. What's the normal frequency of cases in which you would, case of a cholashi ish bo sakana? And that's how we determine it, even though it's an interesting heter, they don't require lefanenu. They don't require that there be an actual known patient. It's just the prospect of having a patient. But then they do, in fact, permit it. Yes?
Are you going to fall back on your 10% rule, statistics being what they are? Pikuach Nefesh doesn't necessarily follow 10%.
Correct.
And because of that issue of suffix, one of the sucks that I've heard is that you should go home on purpose. Mm-hmm. Because of that suffix, and because of Sofo Mishum Tfilato, and so that you're not mashal the next time.
Right. So the 10% rule I deliberately did not invoke, because the writers on this tend not to invoke it. They don't give you a number in its place, but they don't invoke the 10% rule. What he's talking about is the idea that a significant minority is 10%. In many areas of halacha, based on a tshuva from the Mishkanos Yaakov. So maybe I should argue, if in 10% of days you have, you have multiple chol hashiyesh bo sakana situations, then that's reason enough. It's an interesting possibility. But you're right. Ein safek pikuach nefesh, generally we say, is even a minimal doubt. That's true. So to sum up what we have,
this discussion seems to be leaning towards that you would not extend it to patients.
because they would go next time.
Yeah, it's very hard to make. I mean, there's hardly any arguments that have been made that a patient could use any of these different svaras that we've had.
Yeah, I mean, it's only where you have the concern for somebody who really won't go in a borderline situation.
Yeah.
The thing that always catches me is just that the Darabanans are so easy to use. In other words, I don't really need. First of all, patients who go to the hospital in a life-or-death situation on Shabbos tend not to be in a condition to drive home on Shabbos anyway. Same day return home.
Your wife had a baby, and then you want to return back. So, I mean, those are the most frequent questions.
So
there'd be hardly any reason from what we've heard. You know, you're not needed, and all the, there's really very little.
Except that the truth of the matter is, I remember well the doubts of: is she in labor? Is she not in labor? Can we wait? Having nothing to do with Shabbos. It wasn't even on Shabbos, but just in general,
but
we go through that.
After you've already gone, she's had the baby.
Right. No, but I'm saying, I want to make sure that if she might be in labor, he's going to take her to the hospital. I would rather not have them push it off and say, yeah, we can wait till Saturday night, and then, God forbid, there's a danger in her, you know, she goes into labor at home.
But his question is a different one. His question is, the baby's already delivered.
Right.
It's Shabbat now.
Right. But my response is, Hitirusofan Mishum Chilasan may well apply in the case of someone who's needed to take her to the hospital next time.
Same, because you might do it because you don't want to be in the same situation when she does deliver, you can't go back. It's the same answer.
He is needed to get her to the hospital.
Of course he's needed to get her to the hospital. Once he's in the hospital, where's the heter for him to go home?
Because the next time she's expecting, God willing,
he's still going to go to the hospital.
Well, that's
he might
say it's Braxton Hicks. He's going to say
it is the same argument. Because
excuse me, it's my friend Leonard. It's a silly question.
Not necessarily so. Okay, but that's that's a basic survey. Again, there's more material that I skipped on it, but that's what we got. Next time is May 16th. I think our topic is issues.